Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Put those hands together and celebrate Jesus. Please have your seats in God's presence. Say, grace can be multiplied. Grace can be multiplied. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, the Bible says that to grow in grace. To grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, King James. Grow in grace. Do I have it? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, what does it say? Can someone read that to me? One, two, loud. But grow in grace. So if the Bible says grow in grace, it's because it is possible to be at a level of grace today and at a higher level tomorrow. Let me celebrate doing one more time. Amen. That was a blessing. Next week, we bring another person. It could be you. Papa said, neighbor, you may be the next person. That guy said, never. God forbid, never. No, me how? Say again, say, neighbor. You could be the next in line. All right, last 2 weeks, I defined grace as God's ability to help. Grace is God's ability to help a man or a woman when, where, or in circumstances where that man or woman cannot help himself or herself. Grace is God's special assistance to a man. When a man gets to his end of his wit, he gets to the last point. He cannot go beyond that point. What he enjoys is God's grace. Grace is God's capacity when man has lost all his power. Our emphasis in this month of April is the grace of God and its impact on our lives. God said we can come boldly to receive grace. Grace is God's power. While I sat down there, someone sent me a message just now. His father suffered from prostate cancer. Diagnosed prostate cancer. And during one of our prayers last week, or maybe it's last week, so I couldn't check the date. I made a mention during the prayers that there's someone whose dad had prostate cancer. And that God is healing that person right now. He messaged me instantly, said, Pastor, I'm the one. I said, I declare your father's prostate cancer dematerialized now. He sent me a message now. He said, like that, my father is already healed of prostate cancer. All traces disappeared. All traces disappeared. Grace is God's ability when man's ability has failed. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Quickly, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. The Bible says, which is come boldly to the throne of God. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help. Give it to me. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. That we might find help, find mercy in time of need. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Dumo is not around today. Who's going to read for me?
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne
person?
Of grace.
Wait, where's that person? Okay, all right. How many translations do you have? Do you have NLT?
Yes.
Do you have CV?
Yes.
Do you have Message?
Yes.
And do you have Passions?
Yes.
Do you have Amplified?
Yes.
All right, so read out.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Yes.
That we may obtain mercy.
Yes.
And find grace to help in time of need.
The Bible says we should come boldly to the throne of grace. And I emphasized last 2 weeks that the throne of grace is the throne of mercy. The throne of grace is the throne of help. When you are seeking God's help, the throne of grace is where to find help. The throne of God is where to find mercy. The throne of grace and the throne of mercy and the throne of help. You can't separate grace from mercy. You can't separate mercy from help. Mercy will keep you from what you deserve. Grace will give you what you don't deserve. Mercy will keep you from the punishment you deserve. Grace will give you the help you don't deserve. That's why we sing that song. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness is God's grace. There's no way to separate God's grace from God's goodness. Both of them go hand in hand. Grace is God's assistance to a man who is facing resistance. Grace is powerful. Grace is powerful. The Bible says God is our helper. Number one, write that down. God is our helper. Psalms 46 verse 1 to 5. Psalms 46 verse 1 to 5. Psalms 46 verse 1 to 5. God is my helper. God is my helper. In the times of need, God is my helper. Psalms 46 verse 1 to 5. Who's reading for me quickly?
God is our refuge and strength.
God is our refuge and strength.
A very present help in trouble.
A very present help in time of trouble, in the time of pain, in the time of crisis. God is my very present help. Keep on.
Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed.
Yes.
And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Yes.
Though the waters therefore roll.
Yes.
And be troubled.
Yes.
Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof.
Though the mountains shake. Yes.
There is a river.
There's a river.
The streams whereof
shall make
glad the city of God.
Yes.
The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
Yes.
God is in the midst of her.
God is in the midst of her. Wait. Though the mountains shake, though the landlord start calling, Kaliku Blikitaya, though the doctor's report read red, though the pain is rising again, no matter what's happening, God is in the midst of her. It's my refuge. The bills are piling. Your blood pressure is rising. God is in the midst of her. Give me verse 5. What does it say next? Verse 5.
God is in the midst of her.
Yes.
She shall not be moved.
She shall not be moved. Yes.
God shall help her.
God shall help her.
And that's right early.
And early. Someone say early.
Early.
God never comes late. You see, human beings, we love to have it in place. But God is a very present help in time of trouble. Very present. God is a very present help. The reason why God is a different kind of help is that some people are present in your life, but they cannot help you. Some people are very present, but they cannot help. You are in circumstances, in crisis, in situations that you need help. They are there, but their being there is not helping. And there are people that can help, but are not present. My father was my helper. Paid my school fees. Sent me to school. The day my father died, I knew I had to change everything. Some people will come now, you know, every people can say, don't worry, if it's school, don't worry. Count me in, all lies, all fake. Father could have helped me, but he was absent. It was not a present help. God is dieless, timeless. Eternity-less. God lives in time out of time. God is a very present help in time of trouble. God never changes. Man may change. You may fall out of favor with man. You may fall out of favor with man. People have bought people phone and collected it back. There is nothing that God gives you that he collects back. Nothing. God is my helper. God is my helper. When men cannot help, God is there to help. Listen to me. Some of you are looking for help all around. Look for God's help first. When God decides to help a man, everybody will help him. Everybody will help him. You are supposed to secure God's help first. God never changes. When every man says no, God says yes. I've told the story before, and I'm going to say it again, because some of you might not have heard it before. When my wife and I were going to start SLC, I'd written a very private mail to a pastor who had pastored in this city for almost 20 years. I'd never pastored before. Zero experience. I say it all the time. Zero. And if you are like me, inexperienced. Sometimes God calls you to do things that you are not competent to do. There is nothing that God has called me to do that I can do. He's always calling me to do things I can do. So when he called me to start SLC, I didn't have the capacity for it. I didn't have the competence for it. I didn't have the money for it. I didn't have the network for it. I didn't have anything for it, but I had the God for it. So I sent a mail seeking help to mortal man. I sent a private mail. I said, sir, you've pastored in this city for 20 years. You know more than I would ever know. I said, sir, if you only allow me to come to you, to come and learn, I'll be able to avoid a lot of mistakes. I was humble. I humbled myself under that man's mighty hand. Sent the mail. I begged. I was vulnerable in that mail. And this is why that mail was very special and very, very difficult for me at the same time, is that me and this guy had some complications. Terrible complications. But I knew that he knew what I didn't have. You know, there's some people that you don't like, but they have what you don't have. You know what I'm talking about. If you have your way, you will not talk to them. But somehow, unfortunately, there's something in their hand that you need. That was the case. It was a difficult place for me. I wish I didn't have to tell him anything. I wish I didn't have to have anything, but I was just in a place where I was desperate for help, and it was the only one I could see that could help me. So I sent him that mail privately. I said, sir, please help me. I said, don't worry, just help me. I will come in the night. I will never let anybody know that I'm coming. After sending the mail, maybe less than 15 minutes afterwards, someone started calling me. They said, oh boy, we see your mail. So you Sabi beg like this. And you fold down like this. I'm going to start. So you know Sabi anything. So apparently he picked my mail and was showing people. Say, see him begging. See him begging. See him begging. It is only God that you will beg that will not show anybody. Only God. It's only God that you will chat asking for help that will not screenshot it for future references. It's only God. It's only God. You see, you have to understand that it's only God that you can trust his help. When I saw those calls, tears dropped from my eyes. I told my wife, I said, girl, let's go and face it. God who has called us, he will help us. If indeed he has called us, he will come through for us. Ah, he came through for us. He came through for us. God is my refuge. He's my only helper. There's a proof of helplessness that makes a man attract God's help. A posture of helplessness. There's a place of helplessness that a man must assume to constantly attract God's help. God is attracted to the helpless. I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it. I don't have the capacity for it. Help me, Lord, help me. I scream it every day. Help me, Lord, help me, help me. I can't do it. But if I begin to believe like I can do it, believe like I know about it, God will say, okay, let's let him do it. Let's let him do it. Let him go ahead. Let him try. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. A posture of helplessness. God, I can't do it. Even if you have money, you say, Lord, I can't do it. What does it say?
And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet.
Yes.
Until his disease was exceeding great.
Yes.
Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord.
The Bible says in Asa's disease, follow me closely, he did not seek God. Asa was diseased in his leg. But in that pain, he did not see God. Continue, what does it say?
But to the physicians.
Yes.
And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year
of his life. He died. Why did Asa die? Asa was the king of Judah. The healing power of God was available, but Asa did not seek the help of God. Asa sought the help of physicians. When Asa began his life, it was not like that. I will show you how Asa's life was in the beginning. Give me 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 8. 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Go to verse 8. Same Asa. Just backtrack. This was who Asa was before. Want to go read it. What does
and
it say?
Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears.
So look at Asa. Asa had an army of men. It's not like Asa did not have an army. Asa had an army. That bare targets. Yes, give it to me.
Out of Judah.
Yes.
300,000. And out of Benjamin.
300,000. Yes.
And out of Benjamin, that bare shields and drew bows.
Yes.
280,000.
So Asa had 300,000 and 200,000 ground soldiers. 500,000. Yes, continue.
All these were mighty men of valor.
Yes.
And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian.
Yes.
With an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots.
Yes.
And came unto
how many
Maresha.
Chariots?
300
chariots against 500,000 ground soldiers. 300 chariots. One man must ride one chariot. You can never see two people riding one chariot. Eh? Two people cannot ride one chariot. So one person is riding the chariot. 300 chariots against 500 ground soldiers. Continue, what does it say next?
Then Asa went out against him.
Yes.
And they set the battle in array.
Yes.
In the valley of Zephatha.
Yes.
At Maresha.
Yeah.
And Asa cried out unto the Lord.
Asa cried out. He had 500,000 soldiers, yet he cried out. Asa had 500,000 soldiers going against 300 chariots, yet Asa was not confident in his army. He said he cried to God. What does he say? Yes.
And said,
yes.
Lord, it is nothing we did to help, whether with many or with them that have no power.
So if you have many, you still need God's help. If you have little, you still need God's help. What does he say next?
Help us, O Lord our God.
Yes.
For we rest on thee.
Yes.
And in thy name we go against this multitude.
In thy name we go, yes.
O Lord.
Yes.
Thou art our God.
Yes.
Let not man prevail against thee.
Yes.
So the Lord smote the Ethiopians
before Asa. The Lord smote the Ethiopians, yes.
And before Judah.
Yes.
And the Ethiopians fled.
See, let's stop there because it's a long read, but I don't want us to waste enough time. That the same answer. Same scripture. Same king of Judah and Bethlehem. Had 500,000 soldiers, yet the Bible says he cried to God. There's a posture of helplessness that makes a man attract God's help. This same answer got to a point in his life. He had a disease on his feet. He did not see God. The Bible says he died. A man that 300 soldiers, chariots could not get, a disease on his feet got him down. Why? He had assumed a posture of confidence. Yes, I can do it. It's nothing difficult. I've been done before. I mean, we have some years of experience. They call you to sit at the board meeting. I say, okay, what can I say? Sony. Okay, Sony. Oh, Sony. Yes, yeah. We were at in Japan with their chairman some years ago. We should be able to strike that out. Just send one or two of our staff. You know, that should be okay. And they floor you there. Wow. The Bible says we are of the spirit. We have no confidence in the flesh. There's a posture of helplessness that makes a man attract God's help. There's a posture of helplessness that makes a man attract Asa. The Bible says in his disease did not seek the Lord. He sought physicians. Now he can afford to travel abroad. What he would have prayed for about and say was there. Just get some money, dollars, travel abroad, and began to have more confidence in his money. There are people under the sound of my voice. It's possible that you begin to have confidence in your salary. And what God wants to do with your life, your salary can never afford it. Tell me. You have confidence in your CV. You have confidence in your skill. You have confidence in your pedigree. Asa cried to God because only God can deliver it. Joseph was in that situation. Joseph had become the prime minister of Egypt. How many of you remember that Joseph was prime minister at age what? Age what? Age 30. What was Joseph's dream? Can somebody remind me what Joseph's dream was? Eh? That his mothers, his brothers would bow down for him. Was his dream to become prime minister of Egypt? Eh? So at age 30, Joseph's dream had not come to pass. Answer me now. But at that age 30, did Joseph have the financial capacity to force his dream to come to pass? Yeah, he could have gathered soldiers and said, please go to that city called Canaan Land. There are 10 brothers, coconut head brothers there. Bundle them and bring them here at my feet. He had the finances for it. He had the military might for it. He had the courage for it. Yet, for 9 years, Joseph sat and waited for God to bring his dream to pass. He waited. You see, humility is having power and yet restraining it. That's humility. That's humility. Humility is not that you don't have money. We can't even know your real character. Your state now cannot allow us to know who you are. I said it before. We can't know who you are. You don't have money. Money is what brings out your character. Fame, power. They say power corrupts. I say no. Power reveals corruption. It is power that shows us that this person has been corrupt. He just didn't have the capacity to show his corruption. I'm a virgin, but you are ugly. You are ugly. You are broke. You are ugly. Nobody wants to sleep with you. And you are a virgin. You don't have the physical competence to be this virgin. We are not counting on it. Have money first. Joseph sat down till God brought his brothers to him. He says, the Lord is my help. David says, the Lord is my help. The Lord is my helper. David was a man of God's help. If you want to know a man who really, really enjoyed God's help, go and look at the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book. No matter what situation of your life you are going through, there's a psalm for you. There's a psalm for you. There's a psalm for you. David was a man that went through a lot. He was a man that went through a lot. He understands what it means to be helped by God. Whatever situation you are today, I see the hand of God reaching out to you in the name of Jesus. David, number one, was the last born. Eighth child. I'm back to this last born issue. David was the last born, number one. In most families, ordinarily, the last born is the one that is most pampered. Isn't that true? Except the parents are not there. Then the siblings will want to show him or show her that they are the firstborn. But left to it, the last born ordinarily should have been the one that is most pampered or has the tendency to be spoiled at home. But David was the last born in a dysfunctional family. He was sent to go and face lions in the bush. Not pampered, not spoiled, not helped. As a young child, young boy was sent to the bush to face lions. Number two, David was rejected by both parents, both father and mother. Rejected. He was forsaken by his family. I mean, he was literally forsaken because it takes a level of, you know, abandonment for your parents to allow you at that age to go and be facing wild animals in the bush. When you have elder brother at chest. It took Samuel to remind them that, are these all your children? They have forgotten. If I said that in the book of Psalms, he said it in Psalms chapter 27 verse 10. Give me Psalms 27 verse 10. Psalms 27 verse 10. Psalms 27, what does it say? Psalms 27, 10. Quickly.
When my father and my mother forsake me.
So you see that he did not say if. Eh? You know that he did not say if. So he was not talking about the condition. He was talking about something that happened. He didn't say my father alone. He said my father and my mother. When they forsake me, what happened?
Then the Lord will take me up.
The Lord took him up. So David understands what it means to be rejected by parents. I know all of us are smiling, but there are people whose parents have rejected in this place. Some of you are even in Abuja because your parents have rejected you. For whatever reason, maybe for your sex, they were expecting a boy, they got a girl. They were expecting a girl, they got a boy. Whatever reason. Whatever reason. Circumstances around your birth. Some people are rejected because of circumstances around their birth. Whatever reason why your aunts or your parents or your cousins or your family may have rejected you, God says, I can pick you up. So David was a man who suffered rejection in his own family. Number three, he was despised. David was despised. Number one, he was the last one in a dysfunctional family. Number two, he was rejected by his parents. Number three, he was despised. He was despised in his own family. You see, it's another thing to be despised among friends, despised publicly, but to be despised in your own very house. Because when Samuel got there that day and said, we are looking for a king, Jesse said, if it is issues around king, this boy cannot qualify. This boy. There are some of you here, you are not even given an opportunity to try. You did not even qualify for the screening process. You are not getting me. They had already summarized that you are a failure. They didn't give you a chance to try. There are parents who tell their children terrible things. I suffer terrible things from the hands of my teachers in school. They say, you can never make it. You can never make it. You are a failure. You are a failure. But the great thing is that future not the show for face. You see, the people that rejected you will find out that God has a plan for you. Say, if it's a matter of king, you can't call this guy. Let him stay with the bush. Let him stay with animals. If he die, let him die. I can imagine one day coming and say, ah, hey, today, lion. Lion came. It was only by God's grace. You know, if you're a serious mother, and the boy came and said, he fought lion today. Say, you fight lion? Say, very good. This is the last day you are going out. Say, go and die. Despised by his own family. Before he tried, they concluded that he would fail. He was not qualified. They gave him no chance. David was like that. Suffered rejection, suffered pain even in his own family. Number four, David was a man of many troubles. I dare you to read the book of Psalms. Read the book of Psalms. You'll see a man that was going from one trouble to the other trouble. From one trouble to the other trouble. He was a man of intense trouble, intense pain. If you look at Psalms chapter 42 verse 5, he was a man of constant depression. Psalm 42 verse 5, what does it say? Give me verse 5, verse 6 and verse 11, quickly. Psalm 42 verse 5, what does it say, quickly?
Why art thou cast down?
Why art thou cast down?
Oh my soul.
So he was speaking to his soul. Why are you down? Yes.
And why art thou disquieted in me?
Yes.
Hope thou in God.
Hope thou in God.
For I shall yet praise him.
So you see David having a conversation with himself. If it's not Philistines today, it's Amalekites tomorrow. If it's not Amalekites tomorrow, King Saul, in his own country, where he saved them from the hands of Goliath, his own king, his own president wanted to kill him. His own president wanted to kill him. His prince wanted to kill him. His brothers didn't believe in him. Everyone around him were against him. Everything around David was against him. Everything fought against him. Everything was fighting against him. So there are days that David would just sit down and be talking to himself. Say, why? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? And some of you, you must start that today. Why? You must begin to encourage yourself. In the book of 1 Samuel 13, he said the people came from Ziklag. They burnt his entire house, his thick way, his wife, his children. He said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is what he's doing. Why? Give me verse 6. What does verse 6 say? Verse 6, quickly.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
My soul is cast down within me.
So he speaks to himself, then speaks to God. Speaks to himself, then speaks to God. Oh my God, my soul is cast down. Yes.
Therefore will I remember thee.
I will remember thee, yes.
And of the Hemonites,
yes.
From the hill of Mizar,
yes.
Deep collect unto.
So give me verse 11 quickly. Verse 11. Run through verse 11.
Why art thou cast down?
He went back again. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul?
And why art thou?
You can see a man who was going between depression, encouragement to depression, to encouragement to depression to encouragement. Yeah, put like that under the sound of my voice today. You are in Exodus this morning. Hey. Shirley, and you walk out. Car. God sees your secret tears. Next Sunday, hey, goodness, about to follow all the danger. After, God, why are that cast down, oh my soul? Why are that cast down? Bills are piling. Landlord is calling. School fees not yet paid. Time is going. Deadline not reached. No job. Why that cast down, oh my soul? So David was that kind of man, going from encouragement to depression, to encouragement to depression, to encouragement to depression. Suffered terribly. But God is always attracted to the rejected. I don't know how to emphasize this. The one that people think does not amount to anything is the one that God is interested in. Why is God interested in that kind of person? So that the glory will not be of flesh. so that nobody will be able to take the glory for anything. God is interested in the rejected. So he looks at David. Say, David, because they rejected you, I will stand by you. It's rejected. I've read that scripture over and over. First Corinthians. He says, is anybody dispersed? Is anybody you know, foolish? Anybody without wisdom? He said, God will pour upon you his wisdom. Look at that scripture. Give it to me. Number one. First Corinthians. I beg your pardon. Genesis chapter 29 verse 31. Genesis 29. I want to share the story about Leah. Genesis 29 verse 31. Genesis 29 verse 31. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 60 verse 15. God is constantly attracted to rejection. What does it say?
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated,
yes,
he opened her womb.
So when God saw, somebody say when God saw. Say it again. Say when God saw. So when God saw that they had hated Leah, Leah was the wife of Jacob. God opened her womb. The hatred of man attracts the favor of God. Men turned her down. You would amount to nothing. God says, that's the reason why I'm coming for you. Isaiah, what does Isaiah say? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 15. Isaiah 60, verse 15. Quickly.
Whereas thou hast been forsaken.
Whereas thou hast been forsaken.
And hated.
You see, so that's so. You see, wait. Let's do this together, please. Because you are forsaken. And you are hated. Because of that. What am I going to do? I will make thee an eternal excellency. A joy of many generations. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because you are hated. So when God saw the life of David, that the brothers did not believe in him. His family did not. Yes. Some of you have family members that don't believe in you. They don't. If you come with your dream, say, Daddy, I have a dream. They say, go back and sleep. They don't believe in your dreams. Do you know that when they call everybody outside, say, come out, come out. None of the brothers of David said, ah, Daddy. He remained David, though. None of them. None of them. So you know what God did? God said, all of you, you will remain standing till David comes here. We are not going to sit down till that boy comes. That person that you hate is the one I'm going to anoint. That person you think is not good enough is the one I'm going to pour my favor on. God is attracted to the rejected. So he pours out his help. He pours out his help to him who people think will not amount to anything. He pours out his help to such people. He wants to help them in the midst of their pain. He wants to help them when they can help themselves. He wants to help them because there's nothing beyond his power. And he says, you can call for his help. So one, he's my helper. Two, he's never weary of helping me. God is never weary of helping me. God is your helper. And yet he's not weary. He never gets tired of helping. The Bible says pray without ceasing. He that says pray without ceasing is ready to listen without ceasing. You didn't get that. Anyone that says pray without ceasing is because he's ready to hear. He's ready to answer without ceasing. He constantly is ready to help. He never gets tired. When we're preparing for our convention, I'm preparing for Love and Money. I said, God, I need your help. Someone said, God, I need your help. If you don't help, where shall I go? Nowhere. If you don't help, where else can I go? Some of you are looking for help where there's no help. There's nowhere you can find help than in the face of Jesus. His countenance, Psalm says, I will look upon the hills from whence comes my help. It says, my help comes from God. Only God. Only God can help. Only Jesus can save. Kakabadaboko shataya. Iegade. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can heal. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Your help is in the hands of the Lord. Not man. Not woman. Don't put your confidence to get a job after school in your uncle. Don't put your confidence to get a good work in the hands of your parents. I know your parents may be wealthy, but you must put your trust in the face and in the hands of God. Only God. There's a posture of helplessness that makes a man attract God's help. There's a posture of God, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it all by my own. I need your help. I need your help. Lord, I need your help. When we began to plan for that meeting, I didn't know how big it would be. When it became clear to me that it was going to be this big, I knew I didn't have anything for it. But I come to announce. You know what it means? Announce. When you have announced before church, you cannot change your mind. That's the kind of announcement that Elijah went to announce before here. He said, behold, I hear the sound of abundant rain. And having said that, he now had to put his face beneath his knees and began to pray for that which he already announced was coming. He prayed 7 times, but God showed up. It may take you 7 nights, it may take you 7 weeks, it may take you 7 months, but you can be sure if you put your face beneath your knees, God will show up. God will show up. There were days I would drive out from my house and I would park by the roadside and I'll say, God, you have to help me. I don't borrow, I don't beg, I don't know how to do it, but God, you have to help me. I've said it before, I cannot change my mind. God, you have to help me. Put my face. There was one particular evening, it was even raining. I was there for 2 hours. God, help me, God. Help me. Help me, Lord, help me. And I said, Lord, all this have come against us at once. We're going to pay for our office. Our office, we got an office. It was going to cost about $2 million to pay for that place. Our rent for this place expired at the same time. Convention, love and money. And all that way, looking at me. God said, son, I said, yes. He said, do you remember those days that 5 kings came against Joshua? I said, yes. He said, these 4 kings have come against you. He said, you will slay them at once. At once. God is our helper. We didn't have it at hand, but it kept going. It kept going. It never finished. We checked what we have. It was never enough, but it never finished. You don't understand what it means. The 5 bread, when the 5 bread did not change. What he gave them was 5 bread. They were giving it, but it never finished. They checked, it was still 5 bread. They get, it was still 2 feet, but they kept pulling out, but never finished. Because God is an inexhaustible supply of help. Where can I go? Nowhere. So I run to you. I run to you. I run to you.
I run to you.
God is always willing to help. He's not only your helper. He's not only not weary of helping. He's constantly willing to help. Psalms chapter 18 verse 6. Quickly, Psalms 18 verse 6. He's constantly willing to help. Psalms 18 verse 6. What does it say?
In my distress.
In my distress.
I called upon the Lord.
I called God in my distress. Yes.
And cried unto my God.
I cried unto him.
He heard my voice out yes. of his temple.
He heard my voice from his temple. Yes.
And my cry came before him.
I pray today, when you cry for help in service this morning, your God will hear your cry.
Amen.
He said, my voice went to him. My cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. And the foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaken because it was wrought. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was upon his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him with dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Verse 14. Yet he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the fountains of the world were discovered. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. See all that God had to do to deliver his son, because he cried for help. Cried for help. Somebody's going to cry for help this morning. You see, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstance is. I don't know where you need God's help. But please, I want to beg you. When I prayed this morning, I saw a vision. And I've pastored this for 3 years. 3 years now. 3 years. I've never seen this before. I prayed every Saturday morning. Prayed into Sunday morning. You know, But this morning I prayed. And I saw me as though my spirit left my body. Went up into the sky. And I was there before the throne of God. Pleaded on everyone's behalf that, Lord, anyone that will cry for help this morning, that help will not help, will not evade them. And tears were dropping off my eyes. I prayed, I prayed, I prayed that this morning when you cry for God's help, just like the psalmist said, your cry will enter into his ears. He will hear you. He will hear you. He will hear you from that enemy that was too strong for you. What are his instruments for deliverance? Only two I'm going to mention, and we're going to begin praying. One, he sends his word. He sends his word. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent forth his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from all their destruction. So God sends his words. When he wants to help a man, he sends the man his words. What does he do again? Still his words. Psalm 105 verse 19. Psalm 105 verse 19. He says, say, until the time that his word came. Psalm 105 verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But when the word of the Lord came to him, Bible says in verse 20, the king sent and loosed him, talking about Joseph, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of all his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at will and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came. So God sent his word to Joseph. The Bible says, until the time that that word came, the word of God was trying him. It is the word of God that is his ultimate tool for help. So number one, his word. Number two, he sends his prophets. He sends his prophets. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13. The Bible says, with his prophets, with his own prophet, he said he delivered Israel from Egypt. And with his prophets, he sustained them. Hosea chapter 2, 12 verse 13. Ezra chapter 4 verse 23. Number two, he sends his prophet. Ezra chapter 4 verse 23. I need someone to help me that. Ezra 4 23. What does it say?
Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes.
Don't worry, just jump. He's the devil. You don't want to know his name.
Later read before Rehum and Shimshai,
yes,
the scribe, mm-hmm, and their companions, mm-hmm, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews,
yeah,
and made them to cease by force and power.
So Jerusalem people were building the temple, and the enemies of God people went to, they got a letter from the king, and came. Bible says they caused that work to cease. They caused it to cease by what?
By
look at it very by what?
Force force and power.
You just found out that business has ceased. There's somebody that has caused it to cease by force and by power. You didn't know. Suddenly, your relationship that was doing beautifully before, something just happened. Everything went south. You don't know what went wrong. Somebody has caused it to cease by force and by power. You used to be an healthy person. You didn't have issues around your health, no issues around your blood pressure. Suddenly, how old are you? You're already having high blood pressure, having hypertension, having all kinds of disease. Someone has caused it to cease by force and by power. But no matter how powerful Satan is, he can never make God stranded. The same emperor, chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Same chapter, just go down. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. The next chapter.
Then the prophets.
Haggai the prophet.
Zechariah the son of
Edom. And Zechariah the son. So those of you that live around Edom, you see now that Zechariah, the son of Edom. Continue, what did they do?
Prophesied unto the Jews.
They prophesied to the Jews.
That were in Judah.
Yes.
And Jerusalem.
So they began to prophesy to them. Yes.
In the name of the God of Israel.
Yes.
Even unto them.
Verse 12, verse 2 say.
Then rose up.
Then rose up. Because they start. You see, someone had caused them to cease by force and power. But because the prophets were there, began to prophesy. Began to speak words. Bible said they rose up Zerubbabel. Yes. What does he do next?
The son of Shethel.
Yes.
And Jeshua the son of Josadak.
Yes.
And began to build the house of God.
Yes.
At Jerusalem.
Yes.
And with them were the prophets of God helping them.
The prophets stood with them. And they were helping them. Prophesying. You will make it. You will succeed.
Yes.
Your hands will not be weak. One of those prophecies, as the one that you know, it says, not by power, not by might. He said, the hands of Zerubbabel has laid this foundation. This same Zerubbabel will finish. He kept speaking words. Kept speaking words. What is the outcome of that word? The same Ezra. Ezra chapter 6 verse 14. What does he say next? Ezra 6 verse 14. Now they are prophesied. Now they have helped them. Ezra 6 verse 14. What does it say? First.
And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying
so,
of Haggai.
Listen, they were prospering through the prophesying of the prophets. I'm humble to announce you that you have both in the house this morning. You have both the word and the prophet. You see, the Bible says you should receive a prophet in the name of the prophet. You have the prophet's reward. How you receive a prophet is what you receive from him. How you receive a prophet is what you receive from him. And if I was sharing a testimony with me, I was laying hands on people. I shouted, "Wake up, lay hands on him." Bwah! Fell under the power of God. Went to the office the next day. And someone came with a condition. What was the condition? Eh? He was sick in his body. He was already scheduled for an operation or something. And he said, "Let's pray." He said when he was praying, he knew that there was something that he caught on Sunday that was flowing. The call came. The person was totally, absolutely healed. Yeah. It's the way you receive it. It's the way you receive it. If you receive it in a wrong way, you won't get it. A guy in Lagos, all the way in Lagos, his wife couldn't have a child. Had that miscarriage. Couldn't have a child. Had a testimony, and I share testimonies. And if you have people that don't have children, tell them to come to yourselves. We are giving children here. I'm telling you. They have done IVF, it didn't work. They have done FVI, it didn't work. Come to SLC. I've not done SLC. And I said this every sense. Hard over the phone. And called me. I said, "I'd like to pray for me." I said, "Where's your wife?" I said, "When you get home, put the phone on speaker. I want to pray for you and your wife together." I prayed for them. In 3 weeks, she was pregnant. 3 weeks. You know why it's 3 weeks? Because you know you have to. I know that the word came in and became flesh instantly. I know, but it took 3 weeks for human beings to find out. The word has gone. When your guy spoke to the tree, the tree died. But it took overnight for people to find out. When I said it, when I say be pregnant, you are pregnant. The same Holy Ghost, listen to me. I'm telling the truth. The same Holy Ghost that makes you pray in tongues came upon Mary. She didn't have a husband. You have a husband, your wife, husband is sleeping with you, you are not pregnant. Your case is easier for the Holy Ghost. Mary didn't have husband, she got pregnant. So you are sleeping with your husband, that's very easy. The Holy Ghost just pass. And your case is settled. But the way you receive your prophet, We are seeing prostate cancer healed. We are seeing all kinds of cancer healed. In the way you receive the prophet, I get testimonies every day of icons, all kinds of healings. All kinds of healings. Some of them, even me, I'm shocked. A guy gave a testimony here. He was swindled of his money. Heavy money. He had prayed since last year that the money would be returned. Not returned. He came here on Sunday. I said, Lord, Pastor Peter was preaching on prosperity. He said, God, I tap into this anointing in this house right now. And I receive back that which was stolen from me. That week, they returned his money. They returned his money to him that week. That week. It's not coincidence now. I do it two times first. Then we believe. Unbelief. Unbelief. So come here and we try to go meet her husband. Nothing. That didn't work. Nothing. They tried everything. Husbands. And there are people who have been separated from their wives, separated from their husband, because the husband is in Canada. Wife is in Nigeria. Husband, wife is in UK. Did not work. I said on our prayer platform in the morning, 6 a.m. I said, there's someone you're having accommodation condition, accommodation issues. You are going from house to house. I see you going from house to house, house to house, house to house. And God said, sorted that. She called me and said, Pastor, I'm the one. I said, why? He said, my husband is in Canada. And now I have to leave from one in-law to the other in-law to the other in-law. I said, that case, it was in December. I said, your case is settled before the end of this year. It was in December. By 31st of December, she was on her way to Canada. It must happen before the end of the year. By 1st of January, she called me from Canada. It happened before the end of this year. Same prayer platform, 6 a.m. I said, there's someone there. You are living with your auntie. Your auntie has marriage conditions. She doesn't have a husband and it's terrible and she's in pain. And I declared that before the end of this year, she gets married. It was around October. No boyfriend. How do you get married? Before the end of the year, in October. She called me. I said, that must be you. I've just spoken my word. But you see, the word can be received by 100 people. Oh, you see, the word of God can be received by 1,000 people. What he says to one, he says to all. Is as you take it. If that case resembles your case, you take it. Then you take it. 100 people can take it at once. 1,000,000 people can take it at once. If I say there's someone here, there's somebody here. You say, I'm the somebody. Say, but 3 people came out. I am the somebody. She'll be married before the end of the year. So she said, she spoke to her auntie. She said, my pastor said this. In 6 weeks, they were married. In 6 weeks, boyfriend came, marriage happened. She said, where they share? Even me, I say, 6 weeks from that date, they were counting it. In 6 weeks, somebody just straight from anywhere. Say, I love you. I've been seeing you. Why? The enemy that caused it to cease by force and by power, by prophetic utterance, had been uprooted. So husbands were rushing. Say, I want to marry. In 6 weeks, sir. 6 weeks. 6 weeks they were married. 6 weeks. It's how you leave the prophet. A bishop should stand there, bishop with the book. There are people that are under his nose like this and they are not getting anything. And we are drawing from afar. We are drawing. Followed bishop for 20 years. Somebody messaged me last week. He said, mommy said you should get ready in April. He has an appointment between you and bishop. I said, I'll be fasting, Pastor. Yes, what I'm going to get in that one day, people that have been in that office for 10 years will not have gotten it. When Rachel, you know Rachel and Leah? Listen to me. Rachel and Leah. Rachel was the sister of Leah. He would not even allow Leah to sleep with Jacob. That Rachel was a very strong girl. Rachel here. Very strong a girl. She withstood. Didn't he allow Jacob near? Jacob could not. He could not even near Leah. Not even have sex with that girl. Starved her. So one day, the son of Rachel, of Leah, went and got mandrakes. Sweet mandrakes, like a bush sweet, brought it in. And Rachel said, I like this mandrake. So Rachel, Leah said, hey, I beg, you cannot take my husband and still take my mandrakes. And I said, is that it? Oh, yeah, I will allow him to sleep with you tonight. Give me mandrakes. So they were trading Jacob for mandrakes. The God of Jacob, Patriarch Jacob. His value is a mandrake value. I don't want to go that side. You know me and Jacob. One night, Leah will go on her knees. Ekuku bli kataliki blia. Ovulation or no ovulation. Period or no period. This one night I'm having with Jacob. Every one night Leah slept with Jacob. She brought up a child. Every one night she brought up a child. And Rachel was sleeping with him every day. Nothing. People can come here one Sunday and pick up something. One Sunday. And someone has been there following me up and down. Yes. Yes, 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 praise. And got nothing. He that receives a prophet in the name of the prophet. Because it's not me. You see, I didn't send myself here. I'm on assignment. He that sent me is still with me. I didn't send myself. You see, I couldn't have sent myself to start this church. I'm a very brilliant lawyer. I'm an extremely, excruciatingly brilliant lawyer. I should be in the courtroom. But I'm still in the courtroom. Just that I'm speaking on behalf of men before the court of God. I didn't send myself here. And so when I prayed this morning, I saw that vision and I was caught up in the spirit. And there were tears in my heart. And what was the cry? I said, Lord, everyone that cries for help this morning, answer them. And when I was, I said, go. I have heard your cry. I will do what you have said. Whatever situation you have in your life, some of you, your parents' marriage is at the verge of breaking down. You want to ask God, say, Lord, help my family. I don't want my parents to divorce. That's the cry of your own heart. That could be your own heart. Some of you, your heart is panting for more of God. You are tired of a life that's so prayerless, so dry. God is available. The Bible says he opens his hands and satisfies the need of the entire earth. There is nothing you are looking for that you will not find in the hands of God. Some of you are tired. You didn't tell anybody, but you are tired of single living. You are forming single and slaying, but in a lie, you are not happy. You could be even laughing like Sarah. Pain in the heart. The pain behind that countenance, because you are forced depression, you must smile. God sees the pain in your heart. Travels beyond every fake facade, every strong, countenance you're putting up. He sees the pain in your heart. Some of you are here. Your husband has no job. Your boyfriend has no job. The reason why you're not married is that the boy has no job. You want to cry to God, say, Lord, there's a posture of helplessness that makes a man attract God's help. There's a posture. The posture. There's a posture of helplessness that puts a man in a place where he attracts the help of God. I've seen God help me. I've seen God help me. I always tell the story of SLC because I'm a pastor of SLC. You hear this story till forever. Zero experience. The people I thought were going to help me were not there to help me. The only man that I know was 75 years old. Doesn't know anything about modern church. And I want to pastor a church of young people. God said, I will help you. You see, he told me. I had him. He said, I will help you. I stood in front of my wardrobe. You see, I had placed pictures of Bishop Oyedepo, pictures of Billy Graham, of Miles Monroe. And I stood up and I didn't talk, but I was thinking. And the Lord says, Philip, what are you thinking? I said, I don't want to tell you, Lord. He said, you know, I can read your, I can hear your thoughts. I said, oh, you cheat. I said, yes, but I still don't want to say it from my mouth. You can be reading it. God says, what do you want? No money, nobody, no persons apart from my family, starting a church in the midst of a city. Nothing, nothing. And I was looking at those bishops and I said, God, I want to be great. I was thinking in my heart that I want to be great. So he said, say it with your mouth. I said, Lord, I want to be great. He said, I will make you great. I had it. In his hands is help. Some of you are in situations where you need urgent help. You see, your problem is more than urgent 2K. It's urgent help. Help beyond finances. Where can I go? Nowhere. If you don't help, where else can I go?
Message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.